All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 37 to 45. Father, we pray that you would speak to us through your Word. We pray, God, that you would open up our hearts to receive all that you have for us today. Lord, give us ears to hear what you're going to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 6, verses 37 to 45, the title of this message is, Who Made You God? Who made you God? Now, this is a good question because people say this to us when we point out some sin in their lives. And they follow up this question with this statement, You're judging me. You're judging me. Now, is this what Jesus is talking about? Is he saying that we should never point out sin in people's lives? Let us see what Jesus is talking about in verse 37, because I believe that this is one of the most misunderstood verses in all the Bible. Look what it says there in verse 37. We're going to take a few moments in this verse. It says, Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive. And you will be forgiven. The first thing I want to bring to your attention, notice it says judge not in the first part of verse 37. The Greek word for judge is krino, which means to judge to a place of condemnation. It gives the picture of being in a person's face, yelling and condemning a person. This is not right. This is wrong. So unrighteous and unmerciful judgment is wrong. Notice he says, judge not, and then he says, and you shall not be judged. Jesus is reminding his disciples that we are not the final court. We're not the final court. We're not auditioning for the next TV show, Judge Tony Clark, or put your name there. We're not the final court. To judge another person's motives or to curse to condemnation is to play God. Romans 14 verse 4 says, Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands and falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. So we're not called to judge for condemnation, but watch this. But we are called to judge to identification. You say, what do you mean? When someone is constantly teaching false doctrine or following ways that are clearly unbiblical, we're called to point these things out in love. Paul tells us in Romans 16 verses 17 and 18, he says, to note those who cause division and problems in the church and avoid them. In 1 Corinthians 5:11, Paul says not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is a fornicator, adulterer, not even to eat with them. Now, most people will say, well, you're judging these people. Well, Jesus told us to judge in this way to identification, identifying who they really are. Jesus said in Matthew 7:1, it says, judge not. He also said in that very same chapter, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. So there is a need to judge. But not to a place of condemnation, rather to a place of identification and restoration. And we're to love people to the point when we see them going astray, we can lovingly say, you know, I care about you to the point to tell you that you're going in the wrong direction in your walk with the Lord. Galatians 6:1 says, if you see a brother overtaken in the fault, you that are spiritual, go and restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself. The word restore in the Greek is katatizo, and that is a medical term. It meant to set a broken bone or a dislocated joint. And this procedure had to be done in gentleness. And this is why Galatians 6:1 says restore such a one in gentleness, because this is how you will want someone to restore you. See, here's the thing. I need to bring this point out because you will want someone to set the broken bone back in your life with gentleness, to set you back, your broken life back on the right track with the Lord. You want them to do that in a spirit of gentleness. So according to the Bible, we must make some judgments. We must make some judgment. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 15, it says, he who is spiritual, watch this, judges all things. That's what it says. Now, if you're telling someone that they should not be doing something and you're doing the very same thing, then you are judging. That's what it means to judge. Watch this. I'm just using this as an example. If you see someone smoking and you say, you know, the Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're smoking. You shouldn't be smoking. And you got a pack of Cool Lights in your top pocket. Then you're judging them. But here's the thing. If you're saying, you know what? The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and you shouldn't be smoking and you don't smoke. Then you're not judging them. Oh, isn't that simple? So if you're pointing out something in someone's life and you're not doing that thing, that's not judging them. But if you're pointing out something and you're doing the same thing, that is judgment. That's pretty clear. That's pretty plain. That's pretty plain and pretty simple. So judgment to identification is what we're called to do with the motive of restoration. We must not have an attitude of condemnation. Why not? Because the next part of verse 37, Jesus tells us not to. He says, condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Now, how do I know if I'm condemning people? If we're not willing to partake or be a part of restoring a person, then we are probably practicing condemnation. Let me illustrate this point. Jesus and the disciples, they were in the upper room. Now, if Jesus had looked down and saw the disciples' feet and said, man, your feet is dirty. Y'all's feet are dirty and nasty. If he had done that and that was it, then see, that's the issue. Watch this, though. Watch this. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't look down at their feet and say, you know what? Y'all's feet are nasty, dirty. What's wrong with y'all? No, he didn't do that. He quietly got up in John chapter 13. He quietly got up, took off his outer garment, put a towel over his arm, got a basin of water, and he got on his hands and his knees, and he washed their dirty, nasty feet. In other words, he did something about it. So we're not right to point out the dirt on someone else's feet if we aren't willing to get down there and wash them. We have no right to point out the dirt in someone else's feet if we're not willing to get down there and do something about it, be the one to wash their feet. See, we are so good at pointing out issues and problems with folks, and we never want to be a part of the restoration that's needed or the cleansing that's needed. Something the disciples, they were not willing to do. You have to understand, it was the job of the slave. When anyone come into the home, the job of the slave was to wash the feet of the people coming in. Because in that day, they wore sandals and walking in sand. The feet get all dirty and nasty. You don't want that stuff tracked in your house. So the slave, as soon as you come in, he will wash the feet. Now watch this. The disciples, they were like, I'm not washing feet. You know why? Because they were too busy boasting and bragging on who was going to be the greatest. So I'm not getting down there washing feet. And others say, I'm not either. I'm greater than you. They said, oh, no, you're not. I'm not washing feet either. So they just sat around the table, feet all dirty. Dirty, nasty feet. So Jesus just looked down and just got a basin of water and just began to wash their feet. They understood the implication big time. Jesus said, look, I'm greater than all of y'all, but look at what I'm doing. I'm willing to lay that greatness down to be a servant. And he got down and he washed their feet. Something they were not willing to do. Look at the last part of verse 37. It says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Now, this is talking about the application of forgiveness as it relates to the people around us. I believe that there are many believers today living defeated, unfulfilled lives because of unforgiveness, refusing to forgive people who has hurt you. They've hurt you either by their words or their actions. I believe the Lord is trying to tell us something as a church, because the last couple of weeks or so, the Lord has been hitting on this issue of forgiveness and harboring unforgiveness. This is hard sometimes, because so often we look at forgiveness only in terms of a person who has sinned and they go to God and ask for forgiveness. Or we look at a person who has sinned against us coming to us saying, man, I'm sorry for doing that. But rarely do we look at forgiveness as far as us going to someone or us asking for forgiveness. Oh, we can look at forgiveness of somebody going to God or somebody coming to us, but oh, we fail to look at how we are called to forgive as individuals over something someone has said to us, did to us, whether it was long ago or whether it was just yesterday. And we fail to look at forgiveness in that particular term, and that's how we need to look at it. And we hold on to this stuff in our hearts far too long. Some of you are still angry over something a parent, a father did as you were growing up. Still holding on to that stuff years later. Just last week, there was someone coming up for prayer, and this was an issue. Angry over what their father did long ago. Not letting this stuff go. And I don't normally say stuff like this, but you know what? I just had to say, the Lord impressed upon me this morning as I was just going over my notes and just, you know what? There are some of you who need to forgive yourself. And you know why I say that? Not because of some psychological jumble type of language. Because I'm saying that because you need to, because you thought you were further along in your walk than you were. And then now you're disappointed because you saw that your feet were made of clay. And you saw that you can sin. And not only did you say, I promise I won't do it again. And you've done it again and again. You thought you were super spiritual and that your feet were not made of clay. No, 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 no. You sin. Let it go. That's what forgiveness is about. Welcome to the human race. Stop beating yourself up over. You beating yourself up because you thought you had it going on spiritually. You thought you were some spiritual giant. And all of a sudden your feet began to crumble. Because they're made of clay. And you're like, let it go. Ask for forgiveness and move on. Just move on. That's what the Lord, that's why he died. He didn't die to make you perfect. We don't get perfect until we get to heaven. He's making us more like him. Yes, he is. I wish he would make us perfect. Accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I will never sin again. I wish that was the case. It's not. We're going to sin. We're going to fall short. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Last time I checked, that was in the Bible. And so just get over it. Get over you. Because that's what happened. You focus on you. You think you're all that. Get over you. And just understand that you can fall like everyone else. Now, here's the thing. So when it comes to forgiving other people, how do we receive freedom from the prison of unforgiveness? I want you to understand that there are several reasons, but one I'm just going to give you. Realize that you can do the same thing. Realize that. You can do the same thing. Whatever it is that someone has done to you, you can do to someone else. Please understand that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, it says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank or 2x4 in your own eye? Now, in the Greek language, the speck is made of the same material as the 2x4 in your eye. In other words, what we point out as a problem in someone else's life is the same thing we're struggling with in our life. That's why we can see it so very clearly. Oh, she thinks she's cute. That's because you think you're cute. And you know, I used to do it all the time. I said, oh man, that pastor is so arrogant and so prideful. Oh boy, I can point out an arrogant pastor a mile away. It's the issue that I will have to struggle with. That's why we can see it so clearly. The speck that we're pointing out in other people's lives is made of the same material as the 2x4 that's in our eye. That's why we see it so clearly in folks. You walk around and say, why can't anybody else see this? Am I the only one that sees this? There's a reason why. There's a reason why. Look what it says there in verse 38. Give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, in this verse, Jesus has given us a principle about giving. He said, give and it will be given unto you. In other words, the measure we give, it will come back to us. The picture is of someone scattering seeds in the field. And the wider he scattered that seed, the greater the harvest, or the more his life will be overflowing and running over with crops. So my question to you is this. Are you seeing an overflow in your life? Are you seeing your life just running over? Or are you constantly struggling, constantly coming up short, constantly begging? I believe that it is because you're violating this principle of giving. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 21, he says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. So we have to ask the Bible a question. So what are the things of Caesar? The context of Matthew 22 said taxes. That belongs to Caesar. So what are the things of God? The tithe and the offering. When we give to God what belongs to God, it will be given back to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over, would be put into our bosom or our lap. And it is a principle that God has instituted. For with the same measure we use, it will be measured back to us. And this goes for money. It goes for mercy. It goes for forgiveness, for whatever we do in life. If you put a few dollars in the offering box, that is what you're going to get back in the harvest of your life. And you will forever struggle, forever come up short, forever have issues in your life, forever you'll be begging and borrowing and all kind of stuff. And the same thing goes for if you show a little mercy. We learned from last week, mercy is not getting what you deserve. If you show a little mercy, then don't be surprised when only a little mercy is shown towards you by people when you stumble and fall. I didn't say if you stumble and fall. I said when you stumble and fall. If you see people stumbling and falling, you're like, oh, you know, they need judgment. They need to get judgment. Okay. And when you stumble and fall, and folks are saying, give them judgment. And you're like, oh, you know, show a brother a little mercy here. You don't show any mercy, or you show very little of it. It is a principle of giving that God has instituted. The same measure we give it out, that goes for forgiveness, that goes for mercy, it goes for our finance, whatever it is that we're giving out in life, the measure we give it out, that's what's going to be given back. You don't love people too much, you just, you know, hey, and you wonder why, you know, won't they show brother a little love? You don't show any love. The measure you give it out, that's the measure it comes back. It's a law that God has instituted. You go giving the Lord the change that you got back from going to Walmart and you dump that in the box, then don't be surprised when only a change of God's blessing comes back to you in the harvest of your life. Don't be shocked. And you'll forever struggle. You'll forever beg and borrow and make it. Then you're forever trying to get 2, 3, 4, and 5 jobs. You can get 10 of them. It won't come back to you. Because that's how you gave it out. And I'm not ashamed or bashful to talk about this at all. Because see, folks got money when they want to have it. Look at the season that we're in. Folks are crazy. I love that picture that someone sent me on Facebook. They show Black Friday. Folks fighting each other, you know, climbing on top of each other, crowds. And they showed a picture of Sunday service, Sunday after Black Friday. It was a couple of people in the pew kind of just, you know, hanging out. Crowds. People got money for what they want. And they're going to find money. Some of y'all's credit card screaming as we speak. Please don't put another penny on me. Screaming. The measure you give out when it comes to the Lord and the things of God, that's what you're going to get back. And you wonder, you know, you should, you know what? For many of you, I just gave some clear revelation to you. Because for many of you, you're wondering, why am I always struggling? Why the ends never meet? It's because of a violation of this principle. Violation of this principle financially. There's others who say, you know what? Why is it that people don't show me love? It's because what you give out. you don't show much love. You're wondering why your life is the way it is. It's because of a violation of this. I didn't make this up. This is God's word. And it's a violation of these things. Now, look what he says there in verse 39. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall in the ditch? Now, Jesus was writing about the Pharisees, who were the conservative religious leaders of the day, that were leading people astray. So Jesus is saying that we must see clearly ourselves before we can try to guide others in their spiritual walks. In other words, we can only take people as far as we have gone ourselves. And Jesus is saying to us, if we have blind spots in our spiritual walk, we can be sure that there will be blind spots with those in our ministries, our families, and those under our leadership. If we got blind spots, just know whoever it is that's under your leadership will have those blind spots as well. The blind leading the blind. Look what it says there in verses 40 to 42. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now, the idea is of a gust of wind that all of a sudden blew some sawdust in your eye. You go rubbing and trying to get it out, and you just made the matter worse. You just irritated it more. Then all of a sudden, someone sees you rubbing your eye, and you blinking, and you freaking out, and just rubbing your eye, and they say, whoa, let me help you. And so you look up with that one eye, and you see this big 2x4 coming out of his eye. Said, first, remove that 2x4 out of your eye, you will be able to see clearly the speck that is in my eye. The lesson is this. We cannot speak to people about the blemishes in their lives if we have the same blemishes in our lives to an exaggerated degree. This is what judging in a negative way is all about. In other words, we can, you know, if we want to help others that are in our families, that are on our jobs, our lives must be right with the Lord. I didn't say perfect. I just said right with the Lord. If not, then they will be able to say to us what Luke 4:23 says, physician, heal yourself. The medicine you're trying to give me, use it on yourself. Remember what we said earlier, the speck that we see in other people's eyes is made of the same material as the 2x4 in our eye. And we're so quick to point out specks in other people. And we have the same issues to an exaggerated degree in our lives. And we need to be careful of that. Be careful of the things you're pointing out, because it's really telling on you. And we need to just be careful of how we're pointing these things out to people. Look at verses 43 to 45. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth will speak. Now, a tree bears either good fruit or bad fruit. A tree is true to itself. An apple tree bears apples, not oranges. And we judge a tree by the quality of the fruit on its branches. And I believe that the lesson of these verses is teaching about character, our inner life. And I get this from verse 45, where it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. This speaks of character. I love this definition of character. Character is who we are when no one is watching. This can be comforting or scary, depending upon what we're doing. Did you know who we are when no one is watching? Did you know that is the real us? See, we can come here and smile and fake it a little bit, get around people, and we can put on the face, we can turn it on. But when no one is watching, when no one is around, that's the real us. What are you watching on TV or the computer when no one is around? What are you listening to on the radio, the CD, your iPod, iTouch, and all the other eyes that's out there? What are you listening to? And then when the kids or the wife come in the car, or when someone from church get in, well, give me a minute, and I'll unlock it in a minute. You're trying to turn it to something different. Character is who we are when no one is watching. And that is scary when you think about it in those terms. Or it can be comforting. Because see, if you're meditating on the things of God, it tells. It tells. I love the last part of verse 45 where it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, what's in our hearts will come out of our mouths. Our mouths tell us what's really going on inside of our hearts. What's been coming out of your mouth lately, this week? Dirty jokes, impure comments, inappropriate language. It shows what you have been meditating on lately. On the other hand, if the things of God, praises of God, and God's word is coming out, every time someone says something, you got a scripture or something, it's just overflowing. You're not trying to show off. You just think of a verse and you do a word. Then that shows that you have been feasting on the things of God. All you have to do is talk to people long enough and you can tell what's in their heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We talked about this last Sunday night, singles. We sure did. Yeah, I said all you gotta do is talk to a person. You can tell a lot about them, what's going on in their lives, just by talking to them. Just talk to them. Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If he's just talking about himself and what he got going on, what he's gonna do, and then, oh, ladies, run. Because it's all about him. Run, run, Forrest, run. Run, you need to run. Because it's all about them. Now, man, all you have to do is shut up for 2 minutes. She will talk. Trust me when I say that. Run the lips nonstop. Just listen. Sometimes you're talking, you place it down, take a nap, and she just, I'm gonna just still, okay, oh, yeah. Sometimes, lady, you can scare a guy away. Too much lips. Too much. Man can't handle. He can only handle in small doses. It just can't flood him. You can't have him drink from a, you know, one of them fire things. You can't have him fire hoses. You can't have him drink that. It's too much. It blow his face. Blow him all back. Get it to him in small doses. I know you lonely. I haven't been talking to folks in long, but you don't dump the truck. I'm trying to help y'all. I'm trying to, singles, remember I told you I'm your friend. I'm trying to help you. A little too much talk. A little too much. Oh my goodness. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. It will. Just listen. Just listen. It's no surprise that God gave us two ears and one mouth. That we can do twice as much listening as we do talking. That's why the scripture says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Because just listen. Because all of a sudden, as they're talking, the bucket is going down into the well of the heart and bringing up what's there. And you listen, you say, ooh, a little too much for a brother. Or a little too much for a sister. Either way, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Oh, I just dropped some gold at some of y'all's feet. Because you've been listening, and here's the thing, when you listen, don't ignore what you're hearing. Because some of you ignore it, you heard it. And then when you get into marriage with them and you know they're a hot mess, they've been a hot mess when you were dating. I mean, you chose to ignore some things. And now it's surfacing, now you can't take it. And I always ask in counseling appointment, he was like this before you got married, wasn't he? Well, yeah, but... you know, I just thought it was just change. I can change him. I thought I did. No, you didn't change him. No, you knew that. You saw that. And so now you can't take it. But because Cupid shot you in the beginning and you just saw these hearts and you know, you said, oh, I hear that, but no, I don't really hear that. And then now all the little hearts popped. Now you live in life. I can't take it. Oh, Whoa, we mean you can't take it. So listen and pay attention. And don't let Cupid shoot that comment away and say, no. Tell Cupid, you know, hold back your bow, you know. And I'm telling you, these are things, what's in this heart, it will come out of the mouth. Let me conclude with this. Today we've talked about what it means to judge people, and we heard. We're not to judge people to condemnation, but to identification. If someone is saying that they are an orange tree, but all you see are apples, we're told to judge them in such cases. But make sure that we do it in a spirit of gentleness, considering our own selves. And then we were told to forgive, and we will be forgiven. It's time to be freed from the prison of unforgiveness. It's time to allow the Lord to set you free from unforgiveness. It's time, folks. Aren't you tired of being in prison to what someone has said or done to you? It's time. It's time to be set free. And finally, we're told to give, and it will be given to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall be put in our lap. And this goes for money, goes for mercy, goes for forgiveness. The measure you give these things out is the measure it will come back to you. So ask yourself, is my life overflowing, running over in the areas of my finances, mercy, or forgiveness? If not, it is because of a violation of this principle in your life, and you need to repent and get it right with God. It's a great thing God has you here, because you can get it right. And you're like, well, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this message. No, you here. The Lord has you here hearing it. So you're going to have to do something in your ticker, in this old heart of yours, about this issue. You know, hey, you want to slip somebody a CD, that's fine. But you know what? The first person that has to deal with issues and things is you. You got to deal with it. As long as you're on this earth, you're going to deal with folks. Let me tell you something. What someone has violated you and said someone hurt you with their words or action, let me tell you, it's not the first. It's not going to be the last. It's not going to be the last. Just get over it. Just get over it. People are people. They're a trip. You got the most spiritual people. The most spiritual people, they can get in the flesh and have bad days and bad moments, and it doesn't matter. People are people. I put no high expectation on people. Because you put high expectation, then they let you down. You're like, oh, what happened? I'm so hurt. You know, and we get around people at the job, and we got our guards up. We prepare, and we're like, oh, okay, block, okay. We get around the church, we're like, oh, praise the Lord. And then somebody, boom, and you're like, I'm hurt. I'm leaving the church. And then you go over to the church and a different person hits you again. It's just people. Just people. Just people. Learn, have a thick skin. Just learn to get over it. It's people. It's people being people. God's still working on us. There's some that God, he got a lot of work to do. He got a lot of work to do with me, you know. So just understand that. Lower those expectations. People are people. They hurt you, let you down. Just get over it. Get over yourself. Let it go and just move on in life and continue to try to do what God's called you to do. Hey, that's, I'm telling you, for some of you, that's what you came here to hear. You need to get it right with the Lord. Let it go. Ask the Lord to help you to let it go. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We pray, God, that you will work in our hearts, work in our lives. We need you, Lord. We can't do this without you. And I'm so thankful, Lord, what you have called us to do, you will enable and empower us to do. So, Lord, we pray that you would do that in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, for just keeping ourselves in the prison of unforgiveness. You're not keeping us there because, Lord, you said whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You set us free. But, Lord, we've placed ourselves in prison cells of unforgiveness, and we hold on and we place other people in prison. And Lord, we hold them hostage to things that they have done to us. And Lord, I pray that we let these things go. Free us, Lord. Free us of these things that this has changed our countenance, has changed our way, how we look at life. Oh Lord, free us. You're the one who can set us free. And Lord, there are some who are here who need to repent of their sin and accept you as their Lord and Savior. I pray that today will be the day of salvation for them. Move in people's hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.